Come this way. We're just going over the order for today.
Mary had slowly wandered over to Alex as he'd been talking to Andrew. She looked rather calm and collected, coy, even, as if they hadn't spent the entire night together trying to break her bed, or each other's hips.
Count, Mary said, stepping up to him.
Baroness, Alex said, inclining his head deeply to her.
I'll have your colors up as soon as you finish up with Ridge. In the meantime, I'll be going through the proper process for the king, since this will transfer me at a ducal level as well. I'll send your letter to the Duchess on for you as well, along with your writ of approval to war with Ridge, she said. I admit I'm surprised the Duchess approved your war on the Count.
She didn't. I went through the king. The writ is from him alone, Alex grinned. I have a valid claim against her as well, if I want to push. I don't, but she'll be accommodating for a while, I think.
Mary's eyebrows rose at that, and then she grinned at him.
You're much more than the playboy everyone says you are, she said. Do be a dear and don't get yourself killed. I'm not sure what you see in this barren, dumpy widow, but I do appreciate the attention, even if you are a married man. I'll be sure to send your steward a letter with the news, back in Brit.
With a curtsy, Mary left him there, heading back towards her own people. Her inability to have a child really hurts her self-confidence. If she'd been given just a modicum of the attention people give houseplants, I wouldn't have been able to twist her to my designs. Alex turned and headed over to his numbers.
She looks rather well tousled, Valeria murmured.
She even has a limp now, Nanny said with a chortle. I think he broke her.
Carla nodded her head, grinning. And I thought he was rough with us. Apparently it goes to an entirely different level if it lasts longer than one round.
Riley nodded her head, blushing furiously.
You're all welcome to try me. I'll even give you a decent deal if that's what you want, Alex said, grinning at them. Group rates and everything. I bet between the three of us, 2, 5, we could break a room.
Carla shook her head at that, grinning.
5 would break it all on her own as you chased her around the room. I think she has a maiden's heart in secret and frets over you finally cornering and bedding her, Carla said.
Nanny snorted at that, her teeth starting to pull back in a snarl.
As for you and I, maybe. I think we've already tried to break a desk and a table with me as the hammer.
I wouldn't be averse to trying to break a bed going forward, though. Probably considerably more comfortable. Please?
Yeah, that's fair. I'll try to make the next time a bed, Alex said, a little guiltily.
Carla put up with a lot of his crap, and her complaints were almost always entirely superficial.
Thanks, Carla said. She gestured at his horse with her chin. Now mount up, unless your hips are too sore from seeing if you could turn the Baroness inside out. We need to get moving.
Chapter 31
Max saluted and trudged off. Alex and the entire army had camped just around the edge of the ridge. It was a blind spot to the defenders, and it'd give Max and his men time to get ready and then charge. It'd be a very long charge, however. Powell's cavalry was ready to take the lead. Their job was to hit the ground fast and sprint straight toward the keep.
I'm not so sure about this, Master, Valeria said.
She was dismounted with Riley at her side. A temporary base camp had been established here for all the non-combatants and the supply group.
It'll be fine, Alex said, holding tightly to his reins. Besides, I need to be able to see what's going on. This isn't a stand-up fight I can see from across a plain.
And don't worry about that. Worry more about Coffin. You think she can handle the gates?
Yes, Valeria said with a sigh. The larger concern is how many she'll kill before she feels like she's accomplished her goal. She was already mostly trained before I picked her up.
Alex clicked his tongue. Off we go, then. Max, Drew, make the call.
Max barked an order, and his entire regiment set off at a trot. Dave's own group followed Max's out, the vast majority of Alex's foot soldiers now deployed. Drew pulled his heels back and clucked. His horse started to gallop off, the rest of the cavalry falling in behind their captain.
"Dan, go ahead and start your ranging. See if you can't harry anyone who tries to reinforce the keep," Alex said.
"Aye, sir," Dan said, wheeling his horse around. His light cavalry would be used as a screening force and to keep the opponent guessing.
Carla, Nanny, Rudolph, and Alex's personal guards remained around him. Waiting quietly, Alex tried to give enough time for his people to take the focus. It wouldn't do any good for him to catch an unexpected arrow just for being too eager. 10 minutes of silence stretched out before Alex signaled his command group forward.
"Be safe, Master," Riley called out at his back.
"It's her turn tonight," Nanny said, pulling her horse in close to Alex's side.
"You the keeper of his bed or something?" Carla said.
"Or are you that eager to get your own name in there, Five?"
"Knock it off," Alex grumbled. "This isn't the time or place."
"Yes, Master," they said in unison. They left the safety of the shadows and headed out at an angle, practically running parallel to the keep. Alex wanted to get much closer to the wildlands. He'd have a much better opportunity to see the whole thing from there. Turning his head to the north as he rode, Alex watched as the keep's soldiers panicked and ran about. They were rushing to and fro on top of the battlements, a number of them clearly yelling at one another.
"Looks like that crazy bitch did it," Nanny said. "That or they're pretty fucking stupid."
"She did it, all right," Alex said. "I just hope she didn't overdo it. We'll need to get that gate closed later."
Drew's heavy cavalry stormed onto the scene and barreled into the keep itself.
"This'll be where we pick up casualties," Alex said. "They'll be shooting down at him and his men from above."
Alex felt like he could just barely hear the sounds of combat. Time passed, and it felt like forever to Alex. By the time he'd gotten to a spot he felt would serve as a valuable vantage point, he could just barely see the lead elements of Max's people. Then they were hustling through the gates, swarming into the keep like a flood. Dave's soldiers fanned out through the town that had grown around the keep, overwhelming the small local garrison as if it didn't exist.
"They were really unprepared," Carla said. "Is the threat from the wilds that minor?"
"No, it's actually fairly serious," Rudolph said. I think the Count stripped his resources for the Duke's last war. This might be much better and worse than we thought."
"Both?" Carla asked.
"Better in that we'll be able to conquer it quickly," Rudolph said.
"Worse in that our entire duchy is at the mercy of Galus," Alex finished.
"Let us hope the Duke decides to leave us be for a time."
"You think he'll attack?" Nanny asked.
"I think he'd be a fool not to. This isn't the end. It just comes down to what the Duchess is willing to give to get Galus to leave."
Suddenly, the flag started to drop, the colors of Ridge vanishing below the walls. Then the Brit family crest was raised.
"And there's that," Alex said.
Turning his head to the east, he looked at the large garrison house near the border to the wilds. Time for Dave and Drew to go hit the garrison. With any luck, they'll surrender. "Without any luck, we'll starve them out," Alex said with a sigh.
"All right, we should head toward the keep and go see the Ridge family manor house."
"Manor house?" Carla asked.
"They moved their family home out of the keep. Apparently safety and security outweighed living in a drafty stone house."
"Fools.
Max sent some men to hold it for me so anyone home couldn't escape," Alex said.
"You think anyone was there?" Nanny asked.
"With any luck, Ridge himself. But that's unlikely. I'll settle for his family for now. Maybe we can barter them back to him."
Alex snapped the reins, getting his horse moving.
Dave and Drew were halfway to the garrison by the time Alex passed the keep.
"Let me go first, sire," Rudolph said, muscling his horse ahead of Alex's as they neared a large walled mansion.
"Fat lot of good the wall did," Nanny muttered. "I bet our people just scaled it."
"Probably. Then again, I don't think being nobility guarantees any sort of intelligence," Alex said, pulling his horse up short of the entrance.
Rudolph and another man passed through the gate set in the wall and vanished inside. Feeling every bit of hurry up and wait, Alex drummed his fingers against his thigh.
"Sire," called someone from behind him.
Looking over his shoulder, he watched as a messenger passed through his guards. The runner hurried over to Alex and held up a letter.
"From Mac, sire," said the courier.
Taking the paper, Alex scanned it over quickly.
"What's it say?" Carla asked.
Handing it to Carla after he'd finished, Alex let out a relieved sigh.
"You know your basic letters, Carla. I know your reading level, and I think you can get through that, though a bit slowly. How about you start working your way through it? We'll read it together later," Alex said, turning to Nanny.
"She can read?"
Nanny said, her face turning into a scowl.
"She can now. I've been teaching her, usually after we retire to the bed. Now, do you want the news, Five, or are you more worried about Carla's education?"
Nanny frowned, then nodded her head.
"Grand. Minor casualties in the keep, none of the stores were destroyed, and the gate is intact. Apparently, Coffin killed all the gate guards and stacked their corpses in front of the door overnight."
Does that mean she slept there?" Nanny asked.
"I imagine so. With the decomposing bodies of her kills."
Nanny shuddered at that.
"I've killed my share of people, sure. Men, women, whatever. But never stayed next to a corpse, let alone slept in a room with one."
Alex shrugged. Coffin seemed insane, but she was indeed a very useful tool.
"What's this word?" Carla asked, leaning over to him.
Her shoulder pressed into his as she held up the paper, pointing to a word.
"Ah, deranged. It means unhinged," Alex said, looking down.
"Oh, yes, she is," Carla said, going back to reading.
"Will you teach me?" Nanny asked.
"What, reading?"
"Yes, I'd like to try."
"Sure, I could do that. But it comes with a price," Alex said.
Nanny's face darkened. She was interrupted by Rudolph before she could get rolling, however.
"Sire, the building is secure. We captured several members of the Ridge family, but not the Count," said his guard.
"Anyone useful?"
His sister, his mother, and his nephew."
"Any of them an inheritor for his claims?"
"The nephew, my lord."
"Drop the nephew into the darkest, deepest cell in the keep. Put the mother in a suite. Put his sister in my room with restraints, but be gentle with her. Sack and board up the manor otherwise. Send all the coinage you find to my pay wagons, and let the men take whatever else they can carry that they want," Alex ordered, turning his horse back around toward the keep.
"Surprised you didn't kill him," Nanny said.
"What, the nephew? I probably will. For now, he's a bargaining chip."
"Back to the keep, then, for now. We'll send Max, Dan, and their troops to go wipe out the other garrison in Northern Ridge," Alex said. "Dave and Drew should be able to hold everything down here."
"And what are we going to do?" Carla asked.
"Meet with the locals. Probably several bailiffs, sheriffs, and headmen. Or whatever the hell constitutes for leadership of the peasantry," Alex said. "Then I'll meet with his sister and see if I can't secure a deal out of her. If she swears to me over him, that'll make my conquest all the easier."
"Would you have to marry her?" Nanny asked. "Nobility marriages are confusing."
"I don't think so. We'll see how it goes. I wouldn't want to agree to anything like that without Anna signing off on it."
Alex sat down at the table and looked around quickly. It was a well-dressed suite, and clearly unused. The smell of dust hung in the air. Now that it was getting much closer to evening, he imagined it had been taken care of in the time he'd spent wandering around the keep. Servants must have cleaned it out quickly. Looking to the woman across from himself, he immediately saw the resemblance to her brother. The same cold blue eyes, and a similar shade of brown hair cut to shoulder length. She wasn't very attractive, and didn't have much of a figure. "Hello, I'm Alex Britt, Count of Britt," Alex said. Amy Ridge," she said in response. "Wonderful. So we'll make this rather simple. You're going to rape me, or rape me and kill me if I resist. Be quick about it," she said. Why does everyone assume that's the first thing I'm going to do? Is it that prevalent in this world? "No thanks, you're not really my type, though I will make you a deal. Would you be willing to entreat with me?" Alex said. Amy frowned at him, her fingers scratching lightly at the table. "What exactly did you have in mind?" she asked, her tone cautious. "I would have you swear an oath of secrecy, privacy, and that you won't betray my secrets to others, on your life and soul," Alex said. "I'm afraid I can't," she said, shrugging her shoulders. "You would use that against me later on." "As you like. Rudolph, put her in a cell, make sure she's unharmed. Send in the highest-ranking official next," Alex said, dismissing Amy from his mind immediately. "What? You can't!" Amy complained. Rudolph spared her nothing, pulling her out of the chair. "I don't see the meaning of this. You don't..." Rudolph kept her moving, right out the door, railing against the indignity the entire way. "What a twat," Carla muttered from the right side of the table. "Even I'm better looking than her," Nanny said. "No right to be that stuck up when you look like a sack of potatoes."
"You know, that's a good question, Five. Are you made out of potatoes? Lift your shirt up and I'll start feeling around and we can figure it out together."
Nanny made a face at him, showing her teeth.
"Rotten meat and spite, I imagine," Carla said.
"Be nice, too, or you can take care of me tonight instead of one." Carla looked to the bed in the corner, then back to him.
"That's fine. Can we use the bed this time? And can we work on that letter from earlier, too?"
Alex thought on that, then shrugged.
"Sure. Tell one she lost her place tonight."
"I'll take care of it," Carla said, looking back to the door.
"Just like that, huh? Bed warmer?" Nanny asked.
"Just like that," Carla said, not bothering to respond otherwise. "Call me the professional bed warmer." Nanny looked confused and said nothing. The door opened, and a man in his later years shambled in. He was leaning on a cane, his white hair slicked and smoothed back.
"Master Britt," he said, walking closer.
"Good morning. Please have a seat," Alex said, gesturing to the chair across from himself. The older man grunted and made his way over. Sitting down gingerly, he laid his cane atop the table.
"I asked for you because I wanted to make my intentions clear, and early. I plan on taking over the entirety of Ridge. I'll hold it as my own domain and rule it in the same way I do Britt. I'll treat it no less and no better," Alex said, holding his hands apart in front of him.
"Oh?" asked the older man. "Not quite what I was expecting you to say."
"And what was that? Color me curious."
"Serve me or die. That you'll kill us if we disobey. Something like that."
"Well, treason will of course be met with an execution, but it would be warranted treason, not baseless claims or crimes. I've prepared a list of changes that will occur once I solidify my hold over Ridge. I wish to share them with you in advance, so you could begin socializing the ideas." "Socializing?" Nanny said, looking confused.
I want him to start talking to people about the changes before they become law. That way, when it does happen, it's not a surprise. The quickest way to get people to accept change is to tell them about it long before it happens," Alex explained.
Oh, I get it. Okay," Nanny said, nodding her head.
The older man watched the exchange with a hawk-like glare.
"Name's Bennett," he said.
"Pleasure's all mine, Bennett. Now, in addition to my new rules, I wanted to ask you about the current pay for the keep. How much money do we have, and how long would it last?"
"All of it," Bennett said immediately. "And a very long time."
"All of it?" Alex asked. "Could you clarify that statement?"
"The count kept all his personal monies and county monies here. We had 6 times the number of troops a few months ago than we did today."
Alex guffawed at that, then started laughing loudly.
"Well, damn! This war is already over, then. He won't even be able to pay his personal guardsmen," Alex said, leaning back in his chair.
"All right. I need you to work out how much coinage we need here to cover 6 months' worth of normal, everyday expenditures," Alex said. Leaning to one side, he opened a carrying case and flipped through several papers. Finding what he was looking for, he fished it out. "Add this to that number, and then add an additional 5% of the total back to it. That should cover everything, I think. The rest we'll send back to Brit. No sense leaving it here when there are so few troops."
Bennett looked over the sheet. "You sure? This is a lot of coin," he asked.
"Of course. There's no point in taking something for myself if I can't keep it. Now, unless there's anything else, I think I need to have a word with my commanders," Alex said, dismissing the man.
"Nope, not a word, sire. I'll get to work on this immediately," said Bennett, getting up.
The older man left quietly, leaning on his cane and reading the document as he went.
"Master, you look rather pleased with yourself," Carla said, watching Alex as the door closed behind Bennett.
"I am. This is pretty much the end of the road for Ridge. If he can't pay for his soldiers, only the most loyal will remain with him. He can't even buy food. The only way this'll change is if he gets backing from someone else," Alex said.
"It more or less puts us squarely in charge of Ridge. It's much better than I thought, though it does make me worry for our own financial situation. This could just have easily been us."
"I doubt that, Master. I imagine you would never let the seat of your power be staffed with so few people. That report said there were only 100 or so soldiers here," Carla argued.
Alex couldn't quite argue with that. He'd gone so far as to hire entire mercenary companies to leave his standing army home for that very reason.
"Well, I imagine that concludes my meetings for the day. You can leave, Five. Two and I have some work to do, I suppose."
"Wonderful. Could we have dinner as well?" Carla asked.
"Of course," Alex said, shrugging his shoulders. Nanny looked from Carla to him, a frown clear on her face.
"All right, Master. I'll be outside the door for now," Nanny said, leaving them there.
Carla smiled and sat down in the chair, unbuckling her sword and mace at her hips. Sighing with relief as she got her weapons free, she seemed quite pleased with herself. She set the weapons down on the table and looked at him.
"Anything you want to eat specifically, Master? Personally, I'm feeling hungry, so I don't mind whatever you choose.
As for a plan, how do you feel about eating first, working through that letter, and then wherever the night takes us?" she asked.
Chapter 32
"Sire, a fast courier just stormed in. The horse looks like it's actually blown," Dave said from beyond the door to Alex's private room.
It had been a week and a day since they'd settled in Ridge. Until the ex-Count Ridge was dead, behind bars, or had relinquished his title, Alex would be stuck here in Ridge.
"Right," Alex said loudly, and rolled out of his bed. Riley mumbled something, rolling over to her other side and pulling at the covers. Grinning to himself, he patted Riley once on the hip and got up.
"Did they say who they were?"
Alex called at the door, going to an armoire and pulling out some clothes for the day.
"Sire, they're already here," Dave called. "May I open the door?"
Taking several quick steps to the canopied bed, Alex closed the curtain on the bed and pulled on a pair of pants.
"Yes, go ahead." The door swung inward, and a man in the colors of Tilly strode in, holding out a letter.
"Emergency letter from the Baroness, my lord," the man said.
Taking it in hand, Alex checked the seal. It was unbroken, and very much Mary's. Cracking the wax apart with his thumb, he opened the letter.
"Damn," Alex said as he read through it. "Dave, get everyone spun up. I need Drew and Dan in the field with their cavalry as quick as can be. In fact, we're clearing out the keep. Everyone needs to be out, except for a skeleton force that can keep it held together from an assault."
Setting the letter down, Alex went back to the armoire.
"Count Ridge has sworn himself over to Duke Galis and has his backing. Something like 2,000 soldiers are on their way here," Alex said so Dave could understand the urgency. "Sire, I'm on my way," Dave said, the sound of his boots retreating audible.
"And you, Master Courier," Alex said, coming out with a tunic and a coat.
"For your troubles, here's several gold. Please return to your mistress and give her my profound thanks, and tell her I'll visit her in person soon."
The man took the coin gratefully and then vanished.
When the door closed, Riley stuck her head out from between the curtains, checked to see who was there, and then came out. She was nude, moving to her uniform that was set just beyond the bed.
"Sorry, Juan. I had planned on having breakfast with you," Alex apologized, slamming his feet into his boots.
"Not a problem, Master. I'll get the numbers together and let them know what's going on. Is that the note?" she asked, pointing at the letter.
"Yeah, take it. 2 and 3 can read it for more details. I'm going to track down Max. I want to be gone from here within the hour. I'll not sit here idly wondering where our enemy is," Alex said.
"Sire," Max said through the door.
Riley gathered up her uniform, the letter, and her boots, then slipped back into his bed.
"Oh, and Juan, you look amazing," Alex said, just as she vanished behind the curtain.
A bashful-looking Riley poked her head out through the curtain, one pale shoulder visible. She gave him a small smile, then waved her fingers at him.
"Until next time, Master," she said, then ducked back into the bed.
Moving to the door, Alex flung it open and marched out.
"Good timing, Max. Duke Galis is funding Ridge in exchange for his vassalage."
"Bastard."
"To be fair, we did maneuver the Count into a position where he couldn't really oppose us. Other than surrendering, this is actually a pretty smart choice on his part. His reputation will suffer for it, but the alternative is having no reputation," Alex said.
"Any ideas on troop counts?"
"Something like 1,500. Sounds like he took out a fairly hefty loan."
"That's nearly triple our own count. How are we supposed to fight them?" Max asked. "We're outmanned, outweaponed, out-equipped. What else have we got?"
Alex grinned at that, a stray memory thrown aside for an old TV show.
"Guile," Alex said. "I need you to get our forces broken into 3 and spread out on the western side of Ridge. Make it so the enemy has no choice but to break their own forces to take us on, preferably in such a way that they'll be unable to see one another. Do it so each of our groups can reinforce the others if they need to. Do you understand?"
"I do, sire," Max said.
"Great. Get going."
The keep emptied of all non-essential personnel. Alex had stuck with Max during the egress, letting him and Dave handle all the orders he'd given. Rapidly, Drew, Max, and Dave each took a section of soldiers and settled in the fields to the west, building up defensive earthworks and simple wooden constructs that would break up the enemy on their approach. It was built in a curve, making it near impossible for the enemy to truly move around them. It also put the ends of the enemy forces fairly distant from one another. Beyond that, the next several days had been spent waiting. Michael Ridge was apparently a cautious man and was making his way through the eastern side of Ridge very slowly. All he was accomplishing, though, was letting the engineers and Powell's cavaliers really settle in. Ballistae were being put together, as well as professional defensive installations with raised walkways to attack down from. Trying to take Alex's position would be a butcher's bill to the utmost degree. When the enemy finally did arrive,
They looked road-stained and weary. It hadn't been a fast march for them to make it here, but it had still been a march spread over several days. The entire while, Dan had been hard at work, harassing them, setting fire to their camps, attacking picket lines simply to kill a few, and lingering behind to attack the supply line if possible. Alex had no doubt Michael Ridge was more than likely suffering morale issues and the wrath of his soldiers. Watching the enemy, Alex suddenly grinned.
"What is it? You look like you do when you've got three tied up," Nanny said, trying to see what he did.
Valeria chuckled nearby, but didn't respond. "They're splitting into four groups. They have to if they actually want to cover our entire line. This is perfect."
"I don't understand, Master," Carla said. "Why is this perfect? No matter what we do, we're outnumbered. Even in splitting into four groups, we'll not be able to equal them."
"That's because you're not thinking of it right," Alex said. Turning around, Alex looked for his general.
"Max," he finally called.
Dave and Drew popped out of a tent and made their way over to him.
"Max is indisposed. What can we do, sire?" Dave asked.
"We're going to be making a move tonight. Get the men fed, settled in, and resting. Sleeping if they can.
Quick as can be. Make it look like we're just being lazy. I doubt our friend over there is going to attack today anyway," Alex said, looking from one to the other.
"Tonight I need everyone pulled together, every soldier we have. We're going to attack their leftmost group tonight. It'll be a lightning attack. Swarm in, kill as many as possible, trash everything we can, get out. We'll take an hour rest after that, then do the same to the rightmost of their troops."
Both men looked stunned at the orders.
"My lord?" Drew asked.
"It's simple. Our entire force will outnumber their groups, almost 2-1. Every troop we kill tonight is one we don't have to face tomorrow. We do this right, and they might only outnumber us 2-1 by tomorrow."
Nodding their heads, the professionals saluted and trundled off, each man remaining silent.
"That doesn't seem like it'd work," Nanny said.
"It will, Five. They're tired from marching. They see our defenses and already despair. Their will to fight only goes as far as the coin they're given. I'm betting they're all mercenaries," Alex said, looking back toward the no man's land between the two forces.
"And after tonight, Dan and Drew will start whittling down their numbers, while we start using that siege weaponry on their camps."
"Siege weaponry? On camps, Master?" Riley said, close to his side but not clutching his arm.
"It probably won't kill many, but it'll keep them hopping now, won't it? After that, we'll start in with our true nighttime antics.
And since they gifted us so much time, they won't even be able to return the favor." Not wanting to think about how hard it was going to be to fall asleep, Alex went about his business as normally as he could, so it surprised him how easily he did fall asleep later that night, even despite knowing what his soldiers would be doing. Of course, that was mostly due to the fact that Valeria had invited herself into his bed. She'd given him the simple statement that it was her turn, and kept him well distracted until he'd been ready to collapse.
"Sire,"
came a voice outside his command pavilion. Alex's eyes snapped open and he got out of bed quickly. He'd redressed after his workout with Valeria, wanting to be ready at the drop of a hat. Moving straight to the entrance, he stepped out into the gloomy pre-dawn. Standing there with his helmet tucked under his arm was his general. He looked tired and worn, but bursting with positive energy.
"Max, good to see you. How'd it go?" Alex asked, hoping for the best.
"Exactly as you said it would. The first camp was a right slaughter. We pulled out once it seemed like the nearest enemy camp had figured out what was going on," Max said. "The second attack went much better, if that's possible. We nearly killed them to a man, looted them, torched the supplies we couldn't take, and ran off the survivors."
"Excellently done," Alex said, reaching out and clapping Max on the arm. "That'll have them licking their wounds today.
I'd be surprised if they don't bother with us.
They won't. They're already recombining into one large force. I think they're going to try for the keep instead,
Max said. Alex chortled at that, feeling like Leo was gifting him with this change in affairs. Then he sobered rapidly.
Get the scouts out and moving in every direction. I like what he's doing, but I also don't like it, Alex said. I want Dan and Drew's people taking pokes at them the entire time as they head east as well. Nothing direct. Oblique angle strikes, shaving corners of their formation off, throwing javelins into the ranks. I repeat, nothing direct. Is that clear?
Clear, sire, Max said.
Good. Go. And try to get some rest if you can as well.
Max saluted and then left.
After moving back into his pavilion and finding Nanny and Carla awake waiting for him, Alex went to his command table. Looking at the map for Ridge, he tried to visualize where everything was. It doesn't quite feel right, he said finally. They wouldn't move back to the keep unless they wanted us to follow and harass them. They'd expect it, even. Walking his fingers along the obvious route the ex-Count Michael Ridge would take, he paused as it passed nearby a wooded area.
Is three up yet? Alex asked, looking up to Carla and Nanny.
Probably not. You had her up for a while. She's pretty loud, Nanny grumbled. Alex harumphed at that and looked back to the map.
I'm here,
said a voice in the corner, startling everyone. Seated in the corner, pressed into the shadow, was Coffin.
Ah, hello there, Alex said. I need you to run a mission for me. Come here.
Coffin got up and came over, her fingers fluttering as if they were playing a guitar. She had a strange way of moving as well that seemed to make him feel ill at ease.
See this wooded area? Alex asked, pointing to the spot on the map.
Coffin nodded, her wild hair shaking about her head.
Go there. Investigate. Come back. I'm betting they have soldiers there waiting for us. If you can catch an officer without risking yourself, interrogate one and kill him. If it's too much risk, check the area and come back, Alex said, tapping the map again. Got it?
Yes, I'm the knife. I go, Coffin said,
and then slunk away.
You really think they'll be there? Carla asked.
Maybe. Not risking it, though.
They outnumber us at least 2-1. They only need one sure strike against us. I'll not give it to them.
Many men, Coffin said, appearing at the edge of Alex's command group, right in front of him. She held out an ear in one hand. They're under orders to wait there for you to come, then to attack. Many archers, she said, wiggling the ear a little. I took his life after he told me what he knew. I'm the knife.
Dropping the ear where she stood, she crouched down low, hunkering into herself. Valeria went over to the woman and escorted her off before anyone could think about it.
So it really is an ambush. Where'd our scouts last put the enemy army at?
Alex asked, looking to the table in front of himself.
Here, sire,
Dave said, pointing to a spot between the keep and themselves.
Several hours out from the keep. Even if they made it there today, they wouldn't begin a siege till tomorrow.
Alex stared at the map.
If Michael managed to actually siege the keep, it'd be rather difficult to pry him loose later.
Doable, just difficult.
And more than likely only after starving out the entire place. Having archers waiting in the woods only made it seem more obvious to him that Michael wanted to crush Alex's army completely. He was trying to force Alex into doing what he wanted, rather than reacting to Alex.
All right, they are going to actually siege. Let's set up around their siege and keep working them over. We'll do what we can to chip away at their numbers, but this might end up coming down to having to engage them in the field at some point. Let's have the engineer corps set up a fallback position just outside, here in these hills, Alex said, pointing to a spot southwest of the keep.
What about the archers? Dan asked.
Alex took in a deep breath,
then smiled bitterly.
How heavily wooded is the area they're in?
It's not so thick as to be impassable, but it's definitely going to slow us down if we chase into it. It backs up to a cliff you can't do much with. It drops off into the wildlands to the south.
Oh?
What's the weather been like down there this year?
Dry?
Why? Dan asked.
Set the whole thing on fire, Alex said, flinging a careless finger around the wooded area on the map.
Burn it all down. We'll replant afterward if we have to. Take some of the portable ballistae and use them to fire canisters of flaming pitch. Have your light cavalry spread out around the points they can escape and cut them down if they do.
All around the table, shocked faces stared at him.
No prisoners, Alex said, making sure everyone understood that point. Burn 'em out, cut 'em down. Once the whole place is cinders, check to see if you can salvage anything. I'm sure they have a camp in there. Otherwise, go back to your previous orders.
Aye, sire. I'll do that, Dan said, his voice sounding tense.
Alex shrugged his shoulders and then thought of something.
Bring me Ridge's sister and nephew. I'll be in my pavilion.
Alex left them there. Several minutes later, Carla and Nanny escorted Amy Ridge in. She looked much worse for wear than he remembered. She was dirty, her clothes were fraying, and she looked tired. She was, however, unharmed and healthy. Just very uncomfortable.
Amy, welcome. Your brother has arrived in country, Alex said, pointing at the seat across from him.
Finally going to rape me? Or cut a finger off and send it back to him? She asked, glowering at him.
You look like something used to clean out a sewer. I have no use for you at all in my bed. As for sending a finger back, no.
I was planning on sending you back to him whole, Alex said, folding his hands in his lap.
What, in a box, then? Amy said, sneering at him.
No, alive and well, actually. But I'll need an oath from you for secrecy, privacy, and to not betray what you know of the situation here. Also, I'll be asking your cousin the same, if you decline. If he accepts, I really don't have much use for you anymore here. I might send you back to Brit and put you in the dungeon there, Alex said.
Amy blinked several times, her eyes unfocused as she stared through him.
You said to swear? On which god? Amy asked, her gaze returning to him.
Leah, Alex said immediately.
Leah? Leah? Amy asked.
Indeed, life and soul, to the privacy, secrecy, and to not betray me.
I do so swear on Leah to those terms, Amy said.
Grand. Next, I would have you swear an oath to take a message to your brother for me. I'll grant you your freedom for taking said message as well. On your previous oath, of course. The price for freeing you is that should I win this war against your brother, you'll swear yourself to my service afterward.
Amy looked mildly disgusted at the terms, but then nodded her head.
Fine, I'll do it. I swear to your terms on our existing oath.
What's the message? Amy asked, looking wary.
It's a simple message.
Leave, Alex said, smiling at Amy.
He is, of course, welcome to respond, and I'll grant his messenger safe passage.
All right, off with you, Amy. I'll give you a horse, but you'll still have a long road ahead of you.
Alex hoped he could prod Michael into action. The longer he settled in for a siege, the less likely he'd break away from it.
Chapter 33
Alex tried to soothe his horse. It shifted uneasily, seeming to want to be anywhere but here. Not that Alex could blame it. The tension was sky high around him. Unfortunately, he needed to be here. He was the one who had come up with the plan, which meant he needed to be the one to carry the consequences when he ordered it into action. That order would be to burn the forest to the ground, along with everyone who remained inside it, and to cut down those who fled. They couldn't afford prisoners right now, as they had nowhere to keep them. It had cost him soldiers to do so, and he couldn't afford that.
I mean, it'd be nice to wear something thicker, but it'd slow me down, Carla said.
Huh. What about chainmail? That's pretty sturdy and flexible. More so than that God's awful plate stuff, Nanny replied.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of chain in the armory. Need to have it adjusted to fit.
Want to take a look when we get back?
Yeah, yeah. Need some better swords, too. These have been sharpened one too many times, and they just don't hold an edge like they used to.
Oh, that's a good idea, Valeria said. I could use a good set of knives, for Coffin and my other agent, too. There was a pause in the conversation, long enough that Alex turned his head to look. All three women were staring at Riley.
Probably need to train her to at least fight with a knife, Nanny said finally.
Carla nodded her head.
You want to learn to use a knife, one?
You teach me? She asked, looking between the other three women.
Alex turned back toward the ballista off to one side. The engineers were busy loading a canister of oil into a custom-made bolt. A slow-burning rope fuse had been tied around the rear of the bolt. All down the line and curling up around the other side of the forest were portable ballistae, all of them currently being loaded with their specialty ammo.
"Sire, someone bearing the colors of Tanulf is approaching from the west. Rapidly, too," called one of his people.
Frowning, Alex turned toward the indicated direction. Sure enough, there was a decent-sized party of people on horses heading his way.
"Let them pass when they arrive after you confirm who it is. I'm not aware of being in trouble in any way, so it's fine. Everyone other than my numbers can leave."
Alex then looked to Valeria, who was watching him after everyone but his numbers had left.
"Can I ask you an odd question, three?" Alex inquired.
"Of course, Master," Valeria said with a warm smile.
"In any of your work experience, have you ever had a situation where your master wanted you to kill someone, but couldn't give you the order?"
Valeria's smile faltered, her eyebrow sliding upward.
"I don't think so. That'd be a hard thing to arrange. The act of..."
"I was just curious," Alex said, interrupting her deliberately. "Thank you, three."
Carla and Nanny looked thoughtful. Riley had complete confusion written across her face, and Valeria looked as if she were trying to put together a puzzle only she could see. Blowing out a breath, Alex looked back to the forest.
"We'll be ready shortly, sir," said an engineer who wandered over after it was clear Alex wasn't talking to his numbers anymore. "Getting reports now that a number of our teams are ready. I'll let you know as soon as everyone is set."
"Thank you," Alex said absently, staring through the trees.
"How many am I going to burn alive, and how many people will I deprive of a living? That wood isn't just a stand of trees. There's no telling how many people hunt in it, cut down trees for homes, or collect firewood. All for the sake of a title. Count Britt of Ridge."
Alex lost track of time as he sat there thinking to himself. "Count Britt," said a pleasant voice. Startled, Alex turned his head quickly, watching as the Duchess herself approached him. She was dressed in riding leathers, though they still managed to flatter her appearance.
"Ah, Duchess, a pleasure to see you," Alex said, bowing his head in observance to her rank.
"Are you so sure of that?" she asked, closing the gap until her horse practically pressed up to the side of his own.
"Indeed I am. I have no reason to be concerned for your arrival. You were notified of my intention the moment I decided to take action," Alex said.
"That's very true. To be honest, I was surprised. Angry, even," Regina said.
Alex could feel her eyes on him, as if daring him to ignore her gaze.
"Then I realized I underestimated you, and that my father underestimated you as well. Neither of us thought for a second that you would actually take it to the king if we refused you."
"Ah, I'm pleased to surprise you then," Alex said, finally turning his head to meet her eyes. She smirked, quirking one brow.
The way I heard it, you actually threatened our king with going to the Emperor. That's rather not very you, Alex.
As I've said to many people, my time as a prisoner changed much about me. I'll not be idle. I'll not sit still and let things slide by. Through my very fingers, Alex said, shaking his head. No longer.
So I've seen. I must thank you, by the way. That impromptu defensive fortification you left behind curbed Galus from pushing into our lands. Then you provoked Ridge into forswearing his allegiance. It broke the entire faction he was a part of. And on my way in, I noticed the Barony of Tilly seems to be wearing the colors of Brit, Regina said. There were no questions, or even room for curiosity, in any of her statements.
Baroness Mary has sworn herself to my service, and I accepted her. The declaration wasn't made until I secured Ridge.
Yes, the timing worked out rather well. By the time her letter arrived at the courts, Ridge had already broken his oath. Galus offered him only money and granted him no troops, advisors, or resources. Hence, why I cannot and will not interfere, Regina said, her eyes finally releasing him and shifting toward the nearby ballista. Now it looks as if Tilly is throwing in their lot with us due to Ridge's actions, and they look quite badly all in all. I do expect you to win, by the way, and when you do, I'll uphold your victory over Ridge.
Too late for that, Regina. You didn't support me when I had a claim and a champion's victory. I'll not be relinquishing my writ from the king on you any time soon.
Whatever are you doing? Regina asked, indicating the ballista.
Removing an obstacle, Alex said simply. Sire, we're ready, actually, said the engineer.
Alex couldn't fault the man for not wanting to interrupt the conversation between his count and his duchess.
Right, Alex said with a sigh. Send the signal. Let's get this over with.
Get what over with? Regina asked.
Alex didn't respond. Instead, he stared at the woods, waiting.
What? Regina asked, only to stop when the engineer lit the rope. Then he fired the ballista.
After that, every ballista down the line began to fire. Smoky trails appeared in the sky as the heavy bolts flew through the air. As they struck trees, ground, and branches, their ammo exploded. Oil scattered in every direction and almost immediately went up in flame. In the span of several beats of his heart, the ground around the impact area became a wildfire.
It really was a dry season, wasn't it? Alex murmured.
What have you done? Regina asked, aghast. I've set up a situation where I eliminate an entire regiment of archers who were positioned to kill me as I passed by to defend the keep.
This is war, Duchess. Not a silly skirmish or a battle for prestige. I will have Michael Ridge's head.
Unfortunately, it'll likely be atop a pyramid of the heads of his own troops, Alex said, watching the blaze as it rapidly went out of control.
Regina didn't say anything, though her silence spoke volumes.
Good day, Count Brit. I expect you to pay me a visit at my court once you finish up with Ridge, Regina said.
Of course, Duchess, Alex said, not looking away from the raging inferno that was now taking place, or turning his head away from the screams that he could just now hear, drifting on the warm, smoky wind.
The Duchess left then, and Alex remained. He refused to turn from the scene, even when men began streaming out of the woods to try and escape the flames. Alex didn't turn away. Not until no one else came out, and the flames had long since swept through the majority of the forest. Pulling on his reins, Alex steered his mount away from the smoldering ruins. Thankfully, no one made any attempt to talk to him. Everyone seemed to realize
He wasn't in a good mood.
Alex pulled a boot off and dropped it to the ground with a dull thud.
Boots don't last when you treat them like that.
Looking up, Alex found Leah sitting on his work desk, idly kicking her legs back and forth through the air.
I'll keep that in mind, he said, pulling off the other boot and repeating the process.
732. 42 deer, too, Leah said. Bunch of little critters.
700 what?
Men. That's how many you killed in the woods. Only a handful survived, Leah said, nodding her head energetically. I got some power for each one you killed, since you're my servant, but not much.
Grand. So you're saying I should become a monster and see if I can't beat my previous high score, Alex said, leaning forward and pressing his elbows to his knees, resting his face in his hands.
You'd never get anywhere near it. It's still growing, even now, Leah said.
Reaching up, she scratched at the side of her head and then brightened.
Ah, I remember why I came here.
Not just for the company? Not bored right now?
Nope. Though I don't watch you very often. I have to be pretty bored for that to happen. The reason I came is you're not fulfilling your bargain with me very well.
Huh? Last I saw, the crystal was full and even some of the pillar, Alex argued immediately.
Yes, yes, you have enough to last you for about 2 months right now. But at the rate you're going, you won't make it.
I don't understand.
How to explain? Let's see. You sent Sylvia and Holly away.
I did, yes.
Because they wouldn't offer you much in a trade if they actually agreed, right?
Yeah.
Getting Riley into your bed and Valeria counted for almost nothing. They acted the part of not wanting to, because they thought that's what you wanted. But they had already decided to do so long before you made the deal.
Alex blinked, shocked at that bit of news.
They wanted it, which means those deals worth almost nothing.
Only getting Mary to prostitute herself to you was worth anything of note.
She's the one reason you have a full crystal right now, in fact.
I see. And five?
If you got her to agree to everything soon, she'd be worth a quarter of a crystal. You keep making her wait and giving her time to think it over, she'll be worth less and less. You've already turned her around mentally to where you wanted her. It's just a matter of time now before she asks.
Alex closed his eyes and scrubbed at his face with his hands.
Don't worry. All those women in your dungeon? Lots of power there. Just go on a bed-banging spree and take them all. That, or get them to do worse things. They have to not want to do it, remember? Has to be in your favor.
Yeah, I remember. I didn't think about it, Alex said through his fingers.
Nanny doesn't even have a deal for her food, equipment, or lodging. You just let her run loose.
I mean, I do, but...
Alex, Leah said, interrupting him.
Opening his eyes, Alex looked to the goddess.
I am not a nice woman. I'm a goddess of murder, of dark deals, the things that make others curse. I am she, Leah said, her eyes turning pitch black, and a shadowy aura starting to crawl out from her.
Alex's mind railed at him, and his heart quailed at the rapid change.
I like you quite a bit. I like your wife. But I'll still pull your soul out of your chest the minute our deal fails. Because I like you, though, I'm telling you all of this.
The darkness in her eyes vanished, the shadow rapidly being pulled back into her body.
If I didn't like you, I'd just let you fail, she said with a smile.
But we all have our rules we must follow. Now, my personal suggestion, if you'd hear it?
Alex nodded his head quickly, his heart still hammering in his chest in fear.
Keep your